Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue collar bullshit into some blue collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn the key to long-term success is leveraging technology. Talent attraction is not about the Benjamins. The importance of showcasing your people and Gen Z, they're creating their own career paths.
Our guest today is Ryan England, a hardcore Gen X working with blue-collar business owners to not experience what his dad had to endure by hiring better people faster. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the show, Brad. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. I can see that your attention span is right where it belongs for today's show.
It didn't even show up, man.
It must be that Clarkson internet connection you millennials have.
It could be. It's a terrible internet connection, but I mean, it's a great day on a Friday. I mean, the sun's out, you're golfing. So, I mean, couldn't get any better on a Friday afternoon.
Well, I'm not golfing on Friday. Tomorrow? Not today.
Well,
tomorrow.
It's all good.
It's okay.
But it's March and you're golfing. So,
correct.
So,
awesome. That is a true statement.
Yep. So, Brad, who do we have on the show today?
On our show today is a gentleman I got connected through another person type scenario. It's weird how the world works. This networking thing actually pays off.
Absolutely.
Ryan England, a passionate gentleman about growing businesses in the blue collar world. He has the pleasure and or the maybe not the proper experiences of growing up watching his dad go through 12-hour shifts and not being around and doing all those things and having all that stress and anxiety. And he wanted to figure out a way to do that differently because he didn't like seeing what was going on there. How to hire people better. Mm-hmm. His organization provides training and coaching on how to hire good people faster and to keep them engaged and being part of their organization so that others don't have to go through what his dad needed to do back in the day. And that is a very lofty mission.
Right.
And congratulations on that, Ryan, for putting that program together and making it stick and making it work. So welcome to the Blue Collar BS podcast, Ryan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Ryan, before I forget, because I will obviously forget a couple of things, which generation do you best fit in with?
I'm a Gen Xer. And I'm smack dab in the middle of Gen X. I'm not one of those borderline ones. Like, it depends on who you talk to. Maybe I'm a millennial. Maybe I'm not. I'm a Gen Xer all the way.
Yeah, Steve. He's talking to you, Steve.
I'm not a borderline one. I am right in the middle. I'm smack dab.
What's your ringtone, Steve?
It's not music. It sounds like a phone.
Like an old-time phone or like T-Mobile or what?
I don't know. It's usually on Don't Disturb. So you're not going to hear it.
All right, fine. Whatever. It's all good.
So, Ryan, we kind of talked about just a little bit about how you got started. So for our listeners, do you mind diving into that a little bit more and share with them kind of like your story for where you got your company to be right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you heard, I watched my dad do 12-hour days, 6-7 days a week. You know, he had this belief, like I think a lot of entrepreneurs do, I can do it better, I can do it faster, I can have more, mm-hmm. I can win more, I can have more freedom. Like, he had this belief, you know, this entrepreneurial dream. And so he started his own company, and I was probably 5-6 years old. Yeah. I'm down at the shop with him on the weekends, and he's putting me to work.
Well, yeah.
And that happened all the way through high school. Yep. And
you're cheap labor, Ryan.
I thought I'm sitting there hanging out with my dad. This is fun. I'm cool hanging out with dad. I'm like, why do I have a broom in my hand? So, you know, I did what every good son does. And I told dad, I'm not going in the family business.
Right.
I went the college route. We can digress into college if you guys want. What a waste of time and money. But
that's an editorial belief from Ryan England, not necessarily the viewpoints of those at the Blue Collar BS podcast.
Hey, I'm the one that said it. And But then I went corporate because I was like, oh, this small business thing. I watched what it did to my dad. That's dumb. I'm not doing that. I went corporate. Oh, God, was that a mistake? That was even worse than what my dad was going through. I get why so many people leave corporate to start a business. So that's what I did. About 15 years after I graduated, I started my own company. And I had this belief that people like my dad couldn't grow their business or couldn't get what they wanted out of their business because they didn't have enough business. They didn't have enough revenue. They didn't have enough profit. Mm-hmm. That was my belief system.
Yep.
So I started a marketing company to help people like my dad with the belief that if we retained our customers, got them coming back, we would get what we wanted out of our business. A couple of years in and had a lot of home service contractors I was working with. And they're just like, I don't need more business. I'm like, what do you need? They're like, well, you can't help me because no one can help me. So what do you need? They're like, we need more people. I got empty trucks sitting in the lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, recruiting's a marketing issue, isn't it? Like, I was completely ignorant. Recruiting's a marketing issue. And they're like, I don't know, I guess. I'm like, give me a shot. A couple weeks later, I got a phone call and I like, turn the leads back on. We filled all our trucks. We got texts waiting for more trucks to show up. I don't know what you did, but do that. I was like, wow, it was a hell of a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until a couple years into that that I realized that the reason I was so driven to help these entrepreneurs build effective teams and run amazing companies was because I wanted them to have what my dad didn't.
Right.
Because I've met so many business leaders that have said, hey, I finally figured it out. I sold my company. Now I have the time to hang out with my grandkids. Mm. And I've met so many of them that had this dream of being able to do more and spend more time with them and everything else. And then they just watch them grow up and they never get to realize that dream. Mm-hmm. So that's why I doubled down on what I do. And I said, hey, you know what? It's not a problem of there's this significant labor shortage or that nobody wants to do the work anymore. What the problem is that nobody knows these small companies exist. They don't know how to find them. When they do find them, they don't like what they see. Mm-hmm. So they never apply. They never give them a shot. And then once they do get there, though, these leaders don't know how to retain them. They don't know how to engage them. Right. No one's ever taught them the skills to do this. And there's lots of books about nap pods and ping pong tables and unlimited paid time off. And it's like, well, okay, that's great if you're a software developer, but all that stuff is garbage.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Right.
It's all smoke and mirrors. So that's where I'm at.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So where's your nap pod, Ryan? Where do you have it? Is it in the back and down the corner off camera?
I do get to work from home. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's the closest I get to a nap pod. But no, I'm not into that stuff. Like when we're at work, let's work hard. When we're not at work, let's play hard. Right. Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of them intermingling. Of course, you know, being in the space I am in, they do a little bit more than if I had a shop and, you know, customers I was visiting their homes. But, you know, it's not that difficult to make the shift.
Right.
And to being able to attract and retain great talent. It's just, there's some basic principles that people have to apply. And that's what we do over at Core Matters. We teach that to them.
Right. It's not rocket science. It's like I said, it's simple common. I don't want to use the word common sense because common sense is different to everybody, but it's simple human behavior activities that will lead to opportunity along the way. And most of it is just communicating and over communicating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ryan, for our blue collar listeners, what are some trends that you have actually been seeing, some good trends and some bad trends that you've been seeing around can't find good people?
So I would say one of the good opportunities, I don't see a whole lot of good trends yet in blue collar. Right? I just don't. But there are some real good opportunities that are just prime for someone to tap. And this is what we teach, which is why it's so effective. Mm-hmm. One of them is, I already mentioned it. People don't understand the trades. They don't understand construction. They don't understand these companies. What they have is this belief that's been created over the last 20, 30 years, this narrative that plumbers smell, right? This narrative that construction workers are dirty and gross, right? This narrative, because this is what they do in the industry.
Yep.
Right. I want to stand out as a plumber. Guess what I'm going to tell everybody? Well, I'm the one that doesn't smell because all those ones, they all stink.
Yep.
So when you look at the millennials and you look at Gen Z, what are their parents hearing? Their parents are hearing, no self-respecting kid of mine is going to go be a plumber. That's gross.
Right.
I'm not going to the country club to tell my friends that my kid's going to be a plumber. How embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So what do? They buy into the narrative that the industry has done to themselves. Like, they're to blame for this.
I agree with you 1,000%.
So what happened is the few people that have woken up and said, this is a different generation than what I grew up in. I can communicate more cost effectively. I can communicate more quickly. I can stand out as superior to the rest of the industry without dogging on the industry.
Right.
All of a sudden people take notice and go, whoa, that's a different kind of HVAC company. That's a different kind of plumbing company. That's a different kind of ironworking company. Like, I want to be an ironworker because that looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity is there. And it is not hard to take advantage of that opportunity. The hard part is you have to change the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And not to knock any of my blue collar friends, but a lot of them grew up with a wrench in their hand. They did not grow up in front of technology. They didn't grow up in websites and social media and all that other stuff. They grew up building really cool things.
Right.
And so when we say the opportunity is there, where's the opportunity? It's online.
Yeah.
And so they have to make this shift into, okay, it's time to adapt technology or be open to letting someone come in and take over technology for me.
Right.
Huge opportunity. And cornerstone of what we do is taking advantage of that, taking control of the narrative and letting people know, no, we got cool jobs. They're well respected. You make damn good money. And people really care about the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. The number of people that I've told me, no, when our techs walk out of their home, the homeowner is in tears because finally someone took care of them and they're just overwhelmed with joy, or mm-hmm. they're giving us high fives, or they're excited to see us.
Right.
Like, those stories are real,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know how to promote them as an industry.
Right.
So that's one of the huge opportunities that's out there.
And I agree. I totally agree with that. What are you seeing as trends from a hiring perspective? Let's talk attracting talent.
Yeah. So I think the majority of them out there, 99%+, are still doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They still operate under this belief that it's about lots of money. It's all about yep. pay. They right. still operate under this belief that I don't have benefits. I can't compete. They're still operating under this belief of, you know what? People just care about the money. They don't care about the cool things that we do. They don't care about culture. Culture's for sissies. That's something that they do in Silicon Valley.
Right.
And so they're holding on to these archaic beliefs.
Right.
And when it comes to attracting, they think the only way to attract people is to flash Benjamins.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all the time.
Yep.
$5,000 signing bonus. Payable over 50 months, you know, like that kind of garbage.
I have not seen that caveat yet.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've seen it a lot of them don't publish it until you go to sign your agreement.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You know, and that's the thing that we're missing is that we're still under this belief that it's all about the dollars and the cents. But one of the things that we build almost everything we do on is this idea that people don't leave jobs. They leave people.
People. Yep.
And everybody believes that to be true. So if we believe that to be true, why are we advertising a job?
Right.
We need to be advertising our people.
Right. Oh, that's such a great nugget right there. That's such a great nugget for the listeners, right? It's definitely not something that people are doing. They're not highlighting their people in the trades. At all.
Not at
and
all.
And what we often see too is because we're not highlighting the people, our clients are the clients and the customers of those trades that are bashing the trades because like they don't want their kids going and doing it. They're not actually seeing the successful people that are behind mm-hmm. the trades actually doing the work until the people actually show up. And then if somebody actually happens to capture a review, if they do, are they actually talking up the tech that actually came out to their house to talk about what great service they actually had? So
I just interviewed a plumbing company for my podcast, and one of the things they score their techs on is how many selfie pictures do they have getting high fives with the customer.
What? That is awesome.
Yep. They have thousands upon thousands of pictures of the customers high-fiving the tech in their home.
Yep.
Post it on social media, up on their website. And it is one of the things they score that tech on. Because if you don't get a high five, that must mean the customer is not happy.
Wow. That's solid cool. Gold right there.
That's cool. And how hard? It's not hard.
No.
It's not hard to do that.
Nope.
But it's hard to make that shift.
This 28-year-old tech trying to get this 96-year-old grandma to give him a high five on the way out the door. And just that's got to just be an amazing little pic. I mean, particularly if she's happy with the service and excited about the guy showed up and respected her and did the thing. And now the clock doesn't blink noon, or the ice actually works now, or whatever it was, whatever the simple thing could be. Getting that high five picture with that would look awesome on social.
Right.
Absolutely. That is priceless. That is like... Yeah. That's gold, Jerry, as Costanza would say.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What have you seen or trends with the younger generation coming into the trades?
So when we're talking Gen Z, so 26 and under right now, or depends on who you talk to, right? That's always a moving target. But when you talk to Gen Z, they are markedly different than the millennial older brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, they are just completely different. They watch their millennial brothers and sisters grow up sitting around a round table where they felt like they had their own say in the family decisions. And mom and dad are like, where do you want to go to vacation? Like, as a Gen Xer, I didn't get to choose.
Nope.
Mom and dad were like, we're going to Disneyland. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not that excited. And they're like, well, if you ain't excited, we ain't going.
Right.
The millennials are like, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
And the millennials were like, I want to go to Disneyland. Mom and dad are like, all right, we'll figure that out. Well, Gen Z, I think, is coming up now and saying, wait a minute, I saw this thing where it was more of this community thing. Like, I want to take control. Like, I want to be in charge of my own. I want to make my own decisions. I want to create my own experiences. I don't really want to follow the narrative of everyone else. And so we're seeing Gen Z being less addicted to social, less addicted to technology. They're more into conversations with people. They're more into experiencing life. The tricky part is, people, especially in blue collar, still have no idea how to communicate with them because people running blue collar companies. It's not even Gen X yet. It's still the boomers. Mm-hmm. The youngest boomers are still running. Gen Z's their grandkids. And they're like, I ain't listening to my grandkids. They don't get to tell me what's important to them. Right. Yep. And so we haven't seen that shift yet, which is why we're going to lose 40% of people in the trades in the next 10 years. Because they're not coming in fast enough because the boomers, the ones that are now leaving, not their problem anymore. They're doing nothing to change the way they behave, the way they communicate to attract that younger generation in.
Right.
We had a company we worked with that they had huge call centers. I mean, did lots of customer service stuff. And they realized that they could improve productivity. Get this. So most of their workers were millennials. Mm-hmm. The number one way they improved productivity was let them keep their cell phone on their desk, which is totally counterintuitive.
What?
Yeah. And what they found, and science is starting to show this, now it's not healthy, but millennials grew up in the always on digital connected, bombarded with information, bombarded with stimuli. Their brains, as they grew up, learned how to tune out the things that weren't important. Hmm. Me? My wife's cell phone rings. I'm like, is that my phone? A millennial's like, not quite my ringtone. It's close, but it's not mine. And they go back to what they're doing.
Right.
They have learned to grow up ignoring a bunch of different stimuli. And what they found was if they let them sit, they could binge watch all of the South Korean soap operas they wanted, right? Like, they could just let them binge watch those. And they increased their productivity exponentially because now their brain was adjusting to all those different stimuli. Where when it was just wait for the phone to ring and do one thing, they got bored and they started daydreaming and drifting. Like, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's healthy. Like, I don't understand the medical side of that. Doesn't sound healthy, but we have to understand that 60, 70 years ago, the amount of information that a human received in a month is equivalent to what we get in a day now. Mm-hmm. And these millennials grew up in this environment, adapting to it. Gen Z, we still don't quite know how well they do this. But we do know that what drives them is different. Mm-hmm. It's different. They're okay leaving their cell phone in their locker or putting it in a drawer.
Right.
But what we do to attract them is something that a lot of us are still working on.
Well, and that leaving it alone, it comes back from school because the high schools made them put it up in the pocket in the front of the room to not have to worry about it. So they were creating the detachment through education at times early on. You know, the 12-year-old that's got their cell phone, the teachers put it up there because we don't want you messing around. Come here and pay attention. So they didn't have that same level of attachment.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Absolutely. One of the other questions that I have, and it's more of advice for our audience.
Okay.
Right. So since our audience is kind of all over the U.S. and some other location.
Hey, we're worldwide.
We are worldwide.
Nice.
You know, but for those that are really kind of like, hey, we heard this, you know, you're talking about how tech is important for how we attract our talent. You know, we're talking about talent attraction. What would be some advice for those business owners that are kind of resistant to getting themselves out there? What would be some advice for that you would have, like the top two things they can do to do things better at attracting talent?
Yeah. The first one I would say is rethink the way you post your open jobs. Mm-hmm. So in one of my workshops, I have this example. I don't get to show it here, but I say, okay, now let me ask you this question. Which would you rather? And then I play a 60-second commercial of the Z06, $160,000 sports car. And you hear the engine roar and you see the smiles on people's face. There is nothing about how to buy the car. There is nothing about what's required to own the car. There is nothing about the price. It is about the lifestyle that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. You see that car. And then I flip over and I go, and here's a window sticker for that $160,000 car. And it's bullet points. These are all the specs. These are all the things you get. And I'm like, which one does your job ad look like?
Yes. Yes.
So we know fundamentally that if we want to market and promote and sell something, we have to sell the lifestyle. We have to sell on emotion. Mm-hmm. We have to market on emotion. But what do? We take that crap job description that legal gave us, that has a whole bunch of stuff on it that electrician does not do anymore. We slap it on Indeed and we're like, nobody wants to work.
Right.
I'm like, because nobody can do everything you're asking them to do.
That's right. Yes.
So that's the one thing. Mm-hmm. Take your that legal piece of thing.
We aren't a marketing department. Okay.
Don't get me wrong. Those job descriptions are important. When you hire the wrong person, you want to be able to hold them accountable. That's what those are for. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a legal document.
Right.
Take it from legal, give it to your marketing team and say, make this into an ad.
Mm.
Give it to your marketing team and say, go copyright this thing. And while you're at it, SEO it. Because guess what? Job boards are search engines.
Yes, they are.
Clean that thing up. Make it long. People like long job ads. The longer they are, guess what? The more they get to learn about your people.
That's right.
Your culture and what it's like to work there. And that's what people want. So that's one thing.
We don't have time to do that, Ryan. What are you talking about? We don't have time for any of that. We're too busy.
You don't?
No, yeah, we're too busy. I know,
you're too busy because you don't have enough people.
Right, we're too busy. We're too busy paying overtime. We're too busy hiring. So
imagine if you solve that problem.
Life would be great. I'm 1,000% in alignment.
I can't tell you how many times people have called me and said, Ryan, I can't work with you. Why? I'm pulled in so many different directions. Why is that? Short staffed. I'm just thinking, what? It makes no sense to me.
Right.
Jumbo shrimp. Right.
I'm going to solve this problem. So, yes, but you know what? You don't have to do it. Give it to your marketing team. Mm-hmm. Let them do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if people want more of this high energy and excitement, Ryan, where do they find you? How do they get a hold of you? Where do they get your book? Where do they get your knowledge and wisdom from?
CoreMatters.com. Everything they need. We've got training, education, downloads. In fact, for your listeners, if they go to corematters.com/freebook,
what?
I'll send them a copy of my book. Now, I do charge a little shipping handling fee just to offset some of my costs, but it's way better than buying it from Amazon. And I'll ship them out a copy of my book. They can read that. It's full of all the stuff I'm talking about, plus so much more. It's a how-to book. Like, I wrote it for the blue collar industry because they want to know how to do this. They don't need another strategy book on why you need a nap pod. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's what you need to do step by step. Go do it. So if they want a free copy of my book, they can go to corematters.com/freebook, fill out the information, and I'll ship one out to them.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I am highly confident just based on this conversation from our pre-show conversation, there'll be it'll be very actionable, very pragmatic, and very simple to do. You just got to get out of your own way most of the time. It's reprogramming your thought process to change tradition. And well, that's the way we've always done it. Okay. The world used to be flat too until it was round.
Yeah. My question is always this. Well, that's why we've always done it. And how's that working out for you?
That's right. That is right. Mm-hmm. And most of them just sit there and stare at you.
And don't get me wrong. I know we're kind of knocking you guys right now. I love anybody blue collar. I love the trades. Like, you were my people. I had a coach one time who's like, you need to go after the white collar guys because they really love, they'll eat this stuff up. I don't like working with them.
Uh-huh.
Right. It's too political.
I like salt of the earth. Think it, say it. Let's get it done. That's my people.
Right. Absolutely.
Let's go make things happen. Let's go find people and go forward. So are you seeing, let me ask you this question. The boomers are retiring, quote unquote retiring, but yet they still want to be engaged and involved. Are you seeing a resurgence of the individual contributor, that boomer, wanting to come back and teach and educate at all in your circles?
I'm not seeing a whole lot of that. And here's why I think that is. There's never been this desire inside the industry to capture tribal knowledge. It was always the teacher and the apprentice. Like, that is always been the model. Like, I'm going to follow somebody. I'm going to apprenticeship for 4 years. There's never been a real drive, or I would even call a desire, to capture tribal knowledge in a way that others could teach it. Mm-hmm. And I think because we haven't made that shift yet, that's why we're not seeing a lot of the boomers wanting to teach. Mm. I just posted this on LinkedIn the other day. I said, you know, those boomers have to remember that 40 years ago, they were a rookie and they didn't know anything. And someone had to take them under their wing and teach. But they've forgotten that. Well, back in my day, we didn't do it like this. I get it. It's a different world.
Right.
Back in your day, we didn't have cell phones.
Didn't have electricity.
Yeah. For some of them. Right.
Right.
And so it's a different world now. But yeah, back in your day, it was different. But we still got to teach this. We still got to pass that torch to the next generation. And so would I love to see that? I'd love to see a whole bunch of those boomers come out of retirement and say, hey, I can't physically do the work anymore, but I got so much knowledge that I could transfer the next generation. I mean, it'd be incredible.
Yeah, that'd be.
I wasn't sure. There's a couple organizations here locally that I know that are, they've actually taken those oak trees to teach, and they've actually carved that out for some very specific job roles. I just wasn't sure if you were seeing that kind of trend in your circle as well. But it's not common, but I think it's going to be very important for everything to succeed, because wisdom isn't going to be, you got to pass down the wisdom. We can gain the knowledge through YouTube, but we're not going to gain the wisdom without having those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Ryan, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your energy and positivity and your support for wanting to make a better blue-collar world. We are very appreciative, and thank you for the offer to our guests with your book. That is very generous of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Have a great day, gentlemen.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.